We read from Holy Scripture this morning the first 17 verses of Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 1 through 17. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and he brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful thing that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Our text is verses 15 and 16. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? This morning, as we gather in the house of God, even the Lord's own house, we have opportunity this morning to consider a passage that sets before us the Word of God as it relates to two significant events. The first is the administration of the sacrament of baptism to an infant, or what the passage itself calls a suckling. And in the second place, we get to consider this text as it applies also to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ in this Lenten season. For this is a text that connects them both. The place where this occurs is, importantly, the house of God, the Lord's own house. Perhaps you have noticed that every single time the Holy Scriptures record that Jesus went into the temple, something remarkable happens. something noteworthy, which shouldn't surprise us because, as we read in this passage, it was not only his father's house, but the house of the Lord, that is, of Jesus himself. And our text this morning records one of the most touching incidents when Jesus is in the temple. Jesus had come from the east, out of Bethany and Bethphage, down the Mount of Olives on a colt, the foal of an ass. And he had come, the people seeing him and shouting his praises. The Gospel of Mark tells us that what we read here in his passage did not happen that day, but that day after he entered into Jerusalem, it being evening, he returned back to Bethany and returned the following day. What's going on is that Jesus, by coming down the mountain the way he did, he had fulfilled Zechariah chapter 9, that the King of Jerusalem shall come to them meek and lowly and sitting on a donkey. And now the next day, Jesus returns to the temple to demonstrate that indeed he is the King of Israel. Israel had recognized that in their shouting and in their acclamations, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," noticing he is the one that comes in the name of the Lord as he went down the Mount of Olives. And now the next day, when Jesus enters into the temple, he shows he is that King by, first of all, cleansing the temple, casting out the buyers and the sellers. Secondly, by healing the lame, as they were brought to him. He worked miracles. And finally, in the praise of little children, who also began shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Jesus himself shows the significance of that response. And he shows it to the Jewish leaders, who themselves responded to the cries of those children. Not only did they have a response to the miracles that Jesus was working, we read, but they said something when they saw the children crying these things. They too, like the children, had watched the events of the previous day and the events there in the temple the following day and had something to say. Jesus responded by telling them that this praise of children was the work of God's counsel, an amazing truth. And this morning we consider that truth because we give this same response to church leaders today who would silence the praise of children in the church. And also because this is the same reason for which we baptize infants. Consider with me the words of Jesus out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes, the praise, the response, and the explanation. The praise. What in fact came out of the mouth or the lips of the children that day was praise to God. It was a confession that praised God. It was in the first place praise that confessed that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ. And that's evident when you take note that exactly what they say is a quotation of the Old Testament, specifically Psalm 118, verse 25. You will not find those words, "Hosanna," there. because they are put in the English there. Psalm 118, we all know, is a particularly clear prophecy of the coming Messiah as the stone which the builders refused, that it has become the headstone of the corner. And then we read, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna to this great Lord." That this is being said of Christ the Messiah, that the children were recognizing that, is made clear by the description that is added, the Son of David. They were claiming not only was Jesus the long-promised Messiah, but the Messiah who would be the Son of David, who would build the house of God, where God would dwell with his people forever and make his kingdom an everlasting kingdom. What the children were saying, what came out of the mouths of the babes, therefore, was one of the most profound and important activities of a human being, to confess that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Jesus told Peter himself. The confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is the rock upon which Jesus himself will build his church as the chief cornerstone. They did, these children did, what you and your children will do tonight when we recite the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord." And Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says this is the result of God's work in them. No man, says the Holy Spirit through Paul, and that includes women and children, no man can confess that Jesus is the Lord but by the Spirit. The praise that came out of the mouth of babes was a confession also that Jesus was the Savior. That's clear when you look at the particular word that they used, Hosanna. That's a combination of two Hebrew words, the word "I beseech" or "pray," and the Hebrew word for salvation, "shua." And that's how it's translated in our King James in Psalm 118. "Save, I beseech you." That's what the word Hosanna means. That indicates that Jesus is the Savior that was first promised in Genesis 3, verse 15, to Adam and Eve, the Savior who would come to crush the head of the serpent, thus delivering the woman's seed from his power. He is the Savior who would come and deliver the enemies, Israel, from her enemies, and would give the people of God freedom to worship God, to live with him, and receive and enjoy all the blessings of his covenant. He was the Savior who would come to redeem his people from sin and from death and from hell, and bestow all the blessings of that salvation, the forgiveness of sins and holiness and peace and joy of eternal life. These children and what comes out of their mouth wasn't simply that they said these things, but it was an expression that they themselves placed their trust in Jesus as Savior. When they said Hosanna, they were not simply saying that you are Savior, but save now. Save now, we beseech you, saying to Jesus, therefore, we look to you for salvation. We expect this salvation from you. We depend upon you for all of this salvation. Therefore, save now, we beseech thee. The children were looking at Jesus when they said these words. They intended to praise Jesus, but in fact were praising God. Jesus himself highlights that they were praising God when in his response he quotes another psalm. The children are quoting Psalm 118, verse 25, but Jesus quotes Psalm 8, verse 2, which begins, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And Jesus is saying that this is what is coming out of the mouth of babes. Jesus, therefore, is teaching that he is God. He is the excellent name of Jehovah. He is the excellent name of Jehovah inasmuch as he is the full revelation of the triune God. So much so that when one praises Jesus and the name of Jesus, he is praising God himself. And that is what the children are doing, Jesus points out. And this is something God had ordained, whether the children intended it or not. God ordained that he be praised by the children confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the only Savior from sin and from death. In that, God is praised. They're also praising God because they are confessing that the salvation of God is by grace alone, through God alone, in Jesus Christ. That is, they were confessing a sovereign grace and a particular grace to them. They were really saying, salvation is not in us. It is not in our parents. It is not in anyone. But salvation is by this man, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, so that we trust in him. We also notice about this praise that it came out of the mouth of very, very young children. That's evident when Christ himself applies what the children in front of him were doing using Psalm 8. Which refers to babes and sucklings. These, therefore, were not young adults, 16 to 20, or even 12, which was the age of maturity in the land of the Jews. But these were children, very young children. These were children who could speak. They were preschoolers. They were kindergartners. They were children of grades 1 through 3. About this praise, don't say to yourself simply, well, they were just repeating what their parents said. They were just parroting. They were just copying. If that's your opinion, then you line up with the scribes and the Pharisees, because that's what they thought. These children are simply here saying what they're saying because they heard their parents say it the day before. But Jesus is going to expose and refute the Jewish leaders on this occasion. Nor did Jesus simply dismiss what the children had to say as children's babble, the kinds of things that children will say without knowing what they're saying. That's evident when Jesus himself, on another occasion, is going to tell all the adults that except you receive the kingdom of heaven as little children, you will by no means enter into that kingdom. In other words, Jesus himself receives and recognizes this as legitimate, real praise of God. Don't say either that these are only a bunch of noisy children who should be more quiet in the temple of God. That also can be our attitude in church. But was not the praise of these children the most wonderful thing, the most wonderful noise that you could hear in the temple of God? Compare it to the noise of everything else that had been going on. The noise of the buyers and the noise of the sellers and the noise of the money changers and the noise of the money itself. The noise of the priests carrying out all those Old Testament ceremonies. The noise of the animals being slaughtered. The noise of the scribes and the Pharisees teaching all the people to save themselves by their obedience. This wonderful noise of children is still heard in the temple of God today. A wonderful noise by babes and sucklings and little children of 3 to 8 years old, preschoolers and kindergartners and first through third graders, who open up their mouths and sing hosannas to God. Save us now, beseech thee. They do that in the singing of the Psalter numbers with their parents and grandparents, and the confession of the Apostles' Creed with them also, and the praying with us, and exclaiming amen in their hearts to the sermons they hear. This is what goes on in the catechism room. And someone hears that wonderful noise in the temple of God. Jesus does. Jesus hears it in heaven, and it pleases him. And to all the detractors, all who would love to silence that noise, Jesus responds, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained praise. Jesus hears in heaven and says to his Father on whose right hand he sits, listen, Father, listen to that noise, listen to that praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Is it not a most wonderful sound? What's your response to that noise, that sound, that praise? Is it the response of the Jewish leaders? Because they did respond. They had watched the going on. They had heard, and they were not at all pleased, but objected as strongly as they could to this praise and confession of the little children. We read in verse 15 that they were sore displeased with it. That is, the activity of these children pained them. It set them into fits of rage. They were angry and they wanted it stopped, silenced. They first objected because of what the children were saying. The children were praising someone whom they hated, of whom they were envious and had already determined to kill. You know, you yourself know how painful it is and how it can send you into a fit of rage when someone you dislike is praised. Even more so if it's someone you dislike so much that you hate them and you're to the point of plotting to kill them. They considered it blasphemy. They saw in what the children praised this. They were saying that this humble, lowly, poor man, this son of a poor, uneducated carpenter from the despised city of Nazareth, is the Christ, the Son of God, that salvation is in him alone. And the children, therefore, needed to stop this blasphemy and be taught the truth. Secondly, they objected because of who was saying these things. Don't you hear, they said to Jesus, what these say? They're only insignificant little children, ignorant, sinful little kids in the temple who have no idea what they're talking about. Do you hear them, Jesus? And stop them. This is unbecoming to the temple of God and to God Himself. Silence them. This still goes on. This is really the objection of those who would shoo the kids out of church when it's time for the minister to preach the sermon, to hear some sort of homily, or to read a book. They should be dismissed from the temple because they're incapable of understanding the praise of their children, the praise of the parents that they sing in church. They're incapable of hearing what the minister has to say. They really don't know, so escort them out. This is really the same objection of those who would exclude babes and sucklings from infant baptism. That is not a misapplication of this passage. Those who object to infant baptism do so for the same reason. They claim that they may not be baptized because the children are unable to give praise to God. They're just babes and sucklings. Consider now the response of Jesus to that objection. First, and not at all insignificantly, Jesus does not dismiss them or stop this praise, but He receives it and He defends it. That's significant, because by that action, Jesus is validating the truth of what they are saying. In His defense of the children's praise, Jesus is saying, yes, what they say is true. What they are saying about them, what they are saying to me is true of me. I will not stop them because I am indeed the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the great Son of David. I am the Savior, the name of God in whom God is revealed and praised. Secondly, Jesus explains that not only is it proper that this praise comes from little children, but it is the very purpose of God. God ordained this praise, He said. Why are these children singing my praises? Why are they singing hosannas? Not because they're parroting their children, their fathers, their mothers. Not because they are ignorant and this is just babble. They're doing it because in eternity, God ordained it. God ordained that these little children shall praise me. Why is it proper that little children, babes and sucklings of the congregation, be baptized? Why is it right and proper that they be brought to church and join in the praise? Because God Himself has ordained it. Out of the mouth and babes and sucklings, God has ordained it. And notice how God, our Jesus, demonstrates all this by returning back to God. How God-centered He is in His explanation. And that too shouldn't surprise us because He is the full revelation of God. He confirms here He is indeed the Messiah in this regard. When confronted with an objection or when teaching some truth, Jesus always explains it in the light of God, in the light of God's will, in the light of God's word, in the light of God's purpose. That's in fact what it means to be a Christian, a true Christian. You see everything in the light of God, His will, His word, His purpose, His salvation. And that explanation directs everything back to God. That's the opposite of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees who are man-centered. They claim to be defending and teaching the name of God, but they're really not interested. They interpreted the Word of God as they pleased. They had made the house of God a den of thieves, and they had put the people of God in bondage. Same thing happens today in the temple of God. There's many chief priests and scribes, learned men, in many a temple who claim with great piety that they are defending God, promoting the Messiah. And yet, they don't take heed to the Word of God. They object to infants in church. They object to infant baptism. And when offended, they don't go back to God's will and notice God ordains it. But that's what Jesus did. When the place of infants and children in the church of God, in the temple of God, is challenged, challenged especially by the leaders of the church, Jesus says, "What does God say?" And He Himself shows. God said long ago that He ordained in His eternal decree that He would be praised by babes and sucklings in His temple. In fact, Jesus' response with the quotation of the children from Psalm 118 shows what really is going on with that objection of the leaders of the church. Notice how it's all connected. These leaders are the builders of the temple, who are supposed to be building that temple upon the Messiah, the chief cornerstone. But instead, they are rejecting Him. And they're rejecting Him by rejecting the praise of the babes and sucklings that He has ordained will praise Him. They were rejecting the miracles of Jesus and rejecting the praise of Jesus through that which Jesus Himself was doing by the ordaining of the Word of God. And this all shows that is how Jesus is rejected. Not simply by killing Him, but by the rejection of the praise even of infants. This rejection of the praise of the infants, the babes and sucklings and the toddlers and the little children was a rejection of the covenant of God, the unconditional covenant of God. The ultimate reason for the praise of these children is God is a covenant God. That ordaining was the ordaining of God's good pleasure, that He would establish a covenant whereby He would live in fellowship with His people, including the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of believing parents. His covenant whereby He would gather His children out of the families of the church so to live with Him and praise Him. And the leaders were rejecting that. What's the explanation for this praise? How really exactly does such praise come out of the mouth of babes? Good question. Perhaps we say to ourselves, I understand how that happened with these toddlers, these first and second graders perhaps. But God in Psalm 8 says that even infants and babes shall do this. So how does this happen? How does this come about? What are children conscious of? What do they know? And there too, often when we answer that question, we give the answer of our own experience, perhaps what we know, what we understand. But be very careful, because the explanation is that this is the work of God. Not only does God ordain it, but He also works it. And that is the idea of perfected, that this is something that God perfects. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. God perfects the praise of children and babes when by His Spirit God regenerates their hearts. And often in earliest infancy, as can be demonstrated by Scripture and this response of the Lord Himself. God puts His life in them, and by that life they're able to recognize Jesus by His words and His works and hear Him speech. In fact, it ought not surprise us if our little children can understand and recognize Jesus before and even more than they recognize us. Take note of how soon a baby can recognize mother and father. Is it a hard thing to imagine them then recognizing Jesus? God perfects praise from the mouth of babes using also the words and instruction of parents in the presence of their children. You see, God not only gives them the life of regeneration, but He causes that life of regeneration to grow, and to grow so that they themselves respond to the call of Jesus. They praise Him. They hear His words. And so as soon as they are able to speak, they sing praises. They sing songs. They respond by crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They can pray. And in that regard, often God uses means so that you can say, "Yeah, I can see where, in fact, they were repeating what their parents said that day." They were repeating what they said, in fact, word for word. But that doesn't take away from what they said. Rather, it shows the means by which God is pleased to perfect the praise of children. God perfects the praise of children from the mouth of babes using the words and instruction of parents in the presence of their children, just like we find here in this passage. That too shouldn't surprise us, because God also uses the evil that comes out of parents for evil too. If the parents curse Jesus Christ, then it is likely, most likely, the children will curse Him. If the parents deny Jesus Christ in their walk of life, show in their walk of life that they really don't trust in Jesus for their salvation, then the children likely will too. So also in the home and in the church and in the ordinary life and in their actions and behavior, the parents praise God. Praise God in Jesus Christ specifically, then also likely will the children. But God yet has ordained it. But neither does the fact that God has ordained it and God works it eliminate the calling of parents with regard to these children, but rather it defines it and, as the word says, establishes it, shows the importance of it. So you bring your babes and sucklings to Jesus for baptism, so that He may place His hands upon them and bless them, Mark 10. You take your vows seriously, that to the utmost of your power you will teach them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, the Savior. Bring your babes and your sucklings to church as soon as they are able to understand the speech of Jesus and praise His name. Don't keep them home for the sake of a little noise. That noise is the most glorious noise that can be heard in the church. Bring your children to Jesus in the good Christian schools, where teachers will teach them to say, "Hosanna to the Son of David," with all the other children. Speak to your babes and your sucklings of the name of Jesus every day, so that they repeat those words and make those words their own. Teach them that the praise they are to give is to Jesus. And also teach them this: you teachers in the Christian schools who stand in the stead of us parents and you parents in the home, do not neglect to teach your children that the reason, the explanation for the praise that comes out of their mouths is that God has ordained and perfected such praise. Let your children see by your own walk of life that you yourself do not simply have words come out of your mouth or through your lips, but you believe them. And you yourself trust in Jesus Christ for all your salvation. Let your own words and life be thanksgiving to God who has ordained praise and perfects praise from infant lips of babes and sucklings. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, O Lord, our Lord, how wonderful is thy name in Jesus Christ. Grant, Father, even as thou hast ordained, and in thy mercy and grace, because we are undeserving, that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings of the church, they praise, honor, and glorify thee, and look to thee, our God, as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.